On January the 26th in 1972, four young First Nations men set up a beach umbrella on the lawns of Parliament House and established the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. They were protesting against a decision by the McMahon government which dismissed hopes for Aboriginal land rights.
Commissioner Gibson said, "What are we doing there?" And we said, "Well, you know, this is a protest against Billy McMahon's statement." And he looked at us and he said, "All right." He said, "So how long do you think this protest will be here?" And Billy Craigan simply stated, "We'll be here until we get land rights."
And that was Michael Anderson, one of the Tent Embassy founders in the new ABC documentary called Still We Rise. Despite changing the law and trying to evict First Nations people, 50 years later, it still stands. The oldest continuing protest occupation site in the world. John Harvey is a Torres Strait Islander and the director of the film marking the anniversary. John, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
You've created a film centred on the events of 1972. Why was it such a remarkable year?
It was incredible. I think it was just this growing consciousness within the country as well. Like, it was kind of coming to the end of the Vietnam War. People were protesting against the war, against conscription. People were protesting against apartheid in South Africa. The rugby team had travelled to Australia in a massive protest for that. So I think on the back of that kind of, you know, heightened consciousness and awareness within the country, you know, the land rights also gained that support as well.
The majority of the documentary is archival material, particularly from the 60s and the 70s, which is really extraordinary to watch. There's no narrator. It's all interviews and audio from that period. Why was it important to you to feature voices of the time and frame it like that rather than, you know, using alternative methods?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? When we think about history, often, you know, we can have experts talking about history or, you know, reflecting on history and its impact. And for me, I was quite aware that, you know, sadly, many of the people in the film have passed away. And I thought it was really important to hear their firsthand accounts of what the experience was at the time. And so I wanted to, you know, bring those diverse voices and share those stories.
In order to make this, the ABC opened up its archival footage to you, its materials to you. Did you have any idea what was there before you started going through it?
I didn't. And, you know, probably like a lot of people, like you see like the famous clips, you know, you see, you might have seen Vincent Lingiari or, you know, when Gough Whitlam pours the sand, the dirt back to Vincent. And, you know, there's these kind of iconic famous clips that we know of. But I think to see the stories behind those and then to start to piece that together in a national sense and how the embassy played a key role in bringing that voice directly to Parliament on the front lawn. So I think that was a real eye-opener for me.
You really feature a range of First Nations advocates, campaigners, activists, and the energy and the passion of people like Paul Coe and Robbie Sykes reverberate through the screen. Tell us about some of the trailblazers of that time.
Yeah, well, I think another interesting thing about the time was it was a change of guard in a way. There had been an older generation who, you know, had worked around the 1967 referendum. And then there was this young generation coming through who were dissatisfied with what had happened after the referendum and the kind of inaction. And, you know, I think, you know, people like Paul Coe, you mentioned Bobby Sykes, you know, Gary Foley, Cheryl Buchanan, Sam Watson, there's, you know, Dennis Walker. There were many who were taking on the charge, I guess, for not only Indigenous land justice, but Indigenous rights in general as well.
There are moments that are really exhilarating, so inspiring, and I've got to say, like other ones that are quite traumatic. What was the emotional journey for you personally going through hours and hours of this archival vision of First Nations people as a First Nations filmmaker?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, firstly, it's extraordinary to look at this archive and to look at material that hasn't been looked at for a long time. And, you know, it was certainly tough, you know, viewing the material because, you know, in every circumstance, First Nations people are being very clear about what they want. they're, you know, absolutely crystal clear. But, you know, you hear these political responses, which are just kind of full of, you know, excuses and weasel words. You know, you feel the disconnect at times between reporters and, you know, what people are saying. You know, the classic example of that is the Paul Coe and Bobby Sykes interview. You know, you can feel the void between people. But there is this need and wanting to try to understand.
Were there any moments that you uncovered that you were either unaware of or surprised you in some way?
Yeah, I mean, there were many moments like that throughout the film. And, you know, I think one of the things for me as well, this we used, you know, mostly ABC footage, but we also got footage from the National Film and Sound Archive. And we also got a recording from a guy in far north Queensland who had a recording from 1975 on one of those old cassette tapes. I don't know if you remember them, but the play and the record button are the same button. They had the little red button. And he had one of those. And it was a recording of how the Director of Native Affairs removed people from Mapoon. And that was a first-hand account. And I think, you know, coming across that and being able to share that story was a really important part of this process.
Now, while you chose to keep all the voices from the 60s and the 70s, you've made quite a different choice for the music. King Stingray kicks things off. Why did you choose music from today? I mean, they're a young, mixed but Indigenous band. Incredible musicians, can I say? We had them on the program recently. Why did you want to use that contemporary sound?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, the other thing, I guess, around 72 and those early 70s was the music as well, and it went hand in hand, you know. And I think, you know, I could feel it within the young Indigenous activists I was watching, and I thought about what they might be feeling, what they might be listening to, and it made me think about, you know, our young Indigenous contemporary artists today. And, you know, I just wanted to try and really, I think, capture that energy of 72, and I think a way to do that was bringing in the voices of our artists today.
Mm-hmm. The world's changed a lot, right, dramatically, but there are a lot of really, really passionate young Indigenous activists today too, particularly campaigning on an Indigenous voice to Parliament, but other issues too. How do you look at that, sort of looking at the history of Indigenous activism compared to the kind of people we're seeing emerge today?
You know, it's quite extraordinary. Dr. Gary Foley, he was there at the time, and he's done his research in this area, and I was with him during a screening, and, you know, he spoke about, and I, you know, and I feel it as well, you know, quite inspired by young Indigenous people today. You know, there's so many young people who are on the streets, you know, and bringing focus around different issues. There are young people fighting for country, fighting for protection of country, you know, fighting for sacred sites. And, you know, I think that's really uplifting. And part of this film is about, you know, it's 50 years since 72. So, and it's about sharing those stories with younger people and, you know, to help continue to inspire them in their journey.
John, it's so lovely to speak to you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning on Breakfast.
Great. Thanks, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
John Harvey's film is called Still We Rise. It airs on the ABC at 8:30 p.m. tonight. And you can catch it on iView, of course, if you're not able to watch it tonight. Although, you know, it's one of those, I think, appointment television moments if you can.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.